If you got Bibles, get them out, because you're going to need to help me read something in a minute. So my job this morning is to kind of summarize the two key points of this conference. Point number one is operating in signs and wonders is for everyone. And point number two is that you can only see signs and wonders in your life if you're looking for them, if you're intentional about it. And this is about how everybody can live a lifestyle of signs and wonders. And my job is to kind of demo this concept to you out of my life and my wife's life, telling you some of the things that how we have lived this lifestyle. And you know, when I say that, I'm just reminded of God's incredible grace that he's let us do this. He's let us watch what he wanted to do along the way, you know. Turn with me to Mark 16. As we go along with this, you're going to notice something. Those of you that know Debbie and me, you know that we are absolutely just ordinary people. You just can't get any more ordinary than us, okay? And so living a lifestyle of signs and wonders isn't about how spiritual you are, how many degrees you have. Matter of fact, look at what Jesus told the disciples in Mark 16. I want you to help me read along in verse 17. You don't need to read aloud, but I just want to make sure you're following along so we get this. Mark 16, verse 17. This is one of some of the last words on this earth from Jesus to his disciples. And he's essentially telling them what he expects. Right? So he says, these signs will accompany those who, like Father Mark, have about 7 different degrees from about 8 different places. Is that what it says? No. Okay. Those who have been ordained and can wear a collar. And is that what it says? Those who are super spiritual. Does it say that? What does it say? What does that mean, those who have believed? Who's that? Who in here would not fall into that category, right? I mean, we're believers, right? That means we are Christians. Jesus said, this is what I expect of ordinary believers. That they will, in my name, cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Amen. Debbie and I have experienced this. We have lived it. We're nothing special. But you have to be looking for opportunities for miracles to happen. You know, if you don't expect a miracle, probably one's not going to happen, right? So the first thing I want to tell you about, one of the things Karen said, now look, don't just tell us about healings. And if you do tell about healings, don't tell about somebody who had a toe ache and it was healed. You know, tell us some cool stuff, some other kinds of stuff. And so she mentioned the finding prayer. This is, to me, one of the great ways to walk in signs and wonders is the finding prayer. We introduced this to the academy over here, the kids. And they got all excited about it. I told them a story. I'm going to tell you a story about it in a minute. They got all excited about it. Yeah, we want to do that. And after a week or two, they were praying to find things, and nothing was happening. And I told Roxanne, I said, just hang in there and keep praying. And the next day, she said, it works. And ever since then, I mean, she's had all kinds of testimonies from kids doing this finding prayer, and it works. Father David had this same experience at his church. And he calls me. It's 2 weeks, and it doesn't work. Just hang in there. The Lord's testing you. And what happened? It works. I mean, there's been like, Debbie and I probably pray the finding prayer once a month. We have to. We lose stuff. And, you know, there's probably 1 month out of 2 or 3 years, it doesn't work. So the finding, this is the finding prayer. Whatever you've lost, in the name of Jesus, Lord, either show us where it is or send an angel to bring it to us. Amen. That's it. And it's not a long, you don't have to pray long. The first time I can remember watching this work, and I'm going to, some of the stories I tell you today, if I hadn't been there and you were telling me this story, I would probably be going, yeah. But listen, I was there. I saw God do these things. We had, we were working with some dentists. I don't see anything that's about the right size. We were working with some dentists, and we had found something called an ADEC unit. And it was a box that was just a little bigger than this. And it was clamshell. It would kind of open up like this. And it had in it a high-speed drill bit. You know, when you go to the dentist, that's that kind of drill bit. All you had to do is hook up a compressor to it, and you could do fillings in the absolute most remote places in the world. And we were doing that in Mexico and Guatemala and doing stuff that nobody had ever even thought about doing. We would set up the clinic during the day and treat people's teeth and pray for them during the day, and then we would have a crusade at night in that location. And we did this for years and just saw lots of miracles. But anyway, this ADEC unit made it possible. It was like a modern technology miracle. And so we fly down into Mexico. We're going to spend a couple of days at a Bible school and treat some of the students there and then have services with them at night. And we start setting things up. We get the ADEC unit out. And we get the fishing tackle box that had all the other stuff in it, you know, the needles and numbing stuff and, you know, all that stuff. And we're getting everything set up. And one of the dentists says, so where's the drill bit for the ADEC unit? And they go, well, I don't know. It's in where? And so we start looking for it. And we took everything out of the fish and tackle box. We took the ADEC unit and we held it up and shook it. I mean, we looked everywhere you could imagine. And we set the ADEC unit back down, tackle box back down. And we said, okay, let's pray the finding prayer. And so we gathered around, there were probably 8 or 10 of us, held hands, prayed that very simple prayer. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you either show us where that drill bit is, or send an angel to bring it to us. And I'm not sure I expected anything, but when we opened our eyes, sitting on top of that ADEC unit was the drill bit that we needed. One of the dentists had said, oh, I remember, I was supposed to pass. I know where it is back in my office in Houston. I guess the angel had, I wish I'd followed up to find out if when we got back that drill bit was gone. That would have been fun, wouldn't it? I don't know where the angel got the drill bit, but he brought it to us. This is a great one to teach your children how to walk in a lifestyle of signs and wonders. It's a great one to teach your grandchildren. I mean, they've lost some. Gather them around. Hey, let's do that. And boy, I'm telling you, you will see some of the most incredible miracles. And they'll learn to walk in a lifestyle of signs and wonders. I will tell a little healing story about a hurt elbow, okay? I don't know about you, but when I pray for myself, it's like nothing ever happens, right? I need to get somebody else to pray for me. And Debbie and I were in Uganda. We'd gone to a really nice hotel, but there in Uganda, you know, there aren't any elevators hardly. And the steps, it's all concrete, and so the one step will be this high, and the next step is this high, and the next one's like this. Wendy, y'all know what it is if you've been there. And so I've got our suitcases, you know, our 150 pounds of suitcases, carrying them up these stairs, and I trip on a stair that's just a little bit too big and fall and hit my elbow. And, oh, that hurts, you know? And, okay, well, I'm and went to the room, got everything ready. started to go to sleep at night, and I didn't even think about having Debbie pray for my elbow. I was just hurting. You know, I was going to have a hard time going to sleep. I'm hurting. And the Lord said, you're praying for everybody else around here, and they're getting healed. Why don't you pray for yourself? I mean, it was almost like an audible voice. And I go, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Okay, well, I laid hands on my elbow. Lord, heal my elbow in Jesus' name. Elbow, quit hurting, whatever it is, you know, be healed. I mean, instantly, it was healed. The point is, you got to ask. You know? So, we had a car one time. We've been through some pretty rough financial times in our lives. And we had a car one time, a great car. We loved the car. And we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And the air conditioning in that car died. And we were in a climate like this one. Can you imagine being in Selma, Alabama, without an air conditioner in your car? And so Debbie said, why don't we pray for the air conditioner? And I think I even went out with you and laid hands on the car and prayed for the air conditioner. But I promise you, I had no faith for God to heal the air conditioner, right? Well, Debbie had to go somewhere. She gets in the car. She comes back and tells me, Lord, heal the air conditioner. It's blowing cold air. Woohoo, that's great. I got in the car, took off, hot air, nothing but hot air. She gets in the car, cold air. I get in the car, hot air. She's like, there's something wrong with this picture here. Well, the problem was, I just wouldn't believe that God could do that. And finally, see, this is the problem. I think my wife was kind of born to live a lifestyle of signs and wonders, right? I wasn't born that way. I'm having to learn how to let go and do this. And so finally I realized, this is my faith stopping that air conditioner from working. And so the Lord kind of got hold of me, and I used a little of his faith, and guess what? I got in the car, and the air conditioner blew cold air. And it blew cold air till we gave the car away after about 50,000 more miles. And the people that had the car that we gave it to, it blew cold air for years after that. Never any kind of air conditioner repair. God will heal an air conditioner. Sometimes, Bishop Chuck talked about, I think it was Chris. Lord added gas to Chris's car. That happened to Debbie one time. It's actually happened to us a couple of times. Actually, most of these stories, I could tell you what story I'm telling you. Then I could tell you 10 others similar to it, okay? But Debbie was, we were in this place. She didn't have any money with her, no credit cards, needed gas. And so on the way to the gas station, she's praying, Lord, help me get to the gas station. And she's watching the needle go like this. And she gets to the gas station, you can't put any gas in, because the Lord had multiplied the gasoline in the car. Yeah, when she goes to get gas, it's pouring out the filler neck. God loves to multiply things. If you're here for the kids, Deacon Bracken was talking about multiplying food. So has anybody ever heard of an evangelist called R.W. Shambach? He's a real fiery, you see, evangelist. He was at a conference somewhere, and a group of ladies wanted to go see Kenneth Copeland. But they didn't have enough money for the trip. So they took what money they had, put it in an envelope, asked him, put it in your pocket somewhere and just hold it against you while you're preaching. And he says, to go to a Kenneth Copeland meeting? What about me? You know? Well, anyway, so he did that. And after he finishes preaching, he gives the envelope back to him. And the money in the envelope has multiplied. And there are just enough money for them to go. Do you still have that sack you used a while ago? That paper sack? Is it handy? Yeah. Okay. So Once upon a time, I had a business and we built computers. And the computers were kind of a specialty design that I had done, and they required some specialty parts that you had to order them, took a while to get them. And I got an order for 10 computers. And so I'm starting to put these computers together, and I discover one of the parts, one of the critical parts. Can't build this computer without this part. I only had, was it two? I thought I had maybe five to start with. I don't remember what it was. But I had some to start with. Yeah. And they were in a paper sack about like this. And so Debbie comes out to the garage where I'm building these computers. I just got through watching this R.W. Shambach thing, and she tells me this story about the ladies and the multiplied money and stuff. And I said, well, I need that now because I don't have enough parts. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm supposed to deliver these computers tomorrow. And I thought I had the parts, and I don't. Well, let's just pray that the Lord will multiply the parts, she said. And I go, oh, good grief. I need real parts, you know. I mean, I need them to, I don't need to get an order filled fast or something. She said, no, let's pray over them. And we took that sack, and we prayed over that sack. Shook the sack, prayed over it, and opened the sack, and there were five parts. Wow. I know I counted that. There weren't five. We did that again, it was like seven or eight parts. And we did it again, it was 10 parts. I'm telling you, like I said before, if I hadn't been there and seen it, if you were telling me this story, I'd be going, yeah, right. You're just trying to build my faith. I'm telling you, I was there. And that's walking in a lifestyle of signs and wonders. But you have to be intentional about it. You don't have to do it. You just have to look for it, okay? You can't do it anyway. God's the one doing it. I promise you, neither Debbie or I could make any of those parts under any circumstances, okay? So the first time I saw God multiply food, we had gone down to a very, very remote section of the mountains in Mexico. And it was me and Debbie and the missionary couple and maybe one or two other people, I don't remember. And we were going to stay with a pastor and his wife. And so the missionary couple brought enough eggs and bacon for breakfast the next morning just for us and the pastor's family. And pretty soon you start cooking the eggs and the bacon and villagers start showing up and they want some eggs and bacon too, and the pastor's wife's making tortillas as fast as she can, and we were we only brought a few eggs and a little bit of bacon here. What are we going to do? And the people just kept coming and kept coming, and they just kept cooking eggs and kept cooking bacon until everybody had been fed. The Lord had multiplied that food. Now, Gloria, stand up. Raymond, stand up. I'm not going to tell all the story, but I want them to look at you and see you. Okay, you can sit down now. We married them. They thought 125 people were going to show up for the reception, and that's about how much food had been prepared. It wasn't catered people. Local people were bringing the food, you know. 450 people show up. In the kitchen, Debbie gets all the people, all the ladies together that had been bringing food, said, there's not nearly enough food. We got to pray that the Lord will multiply this food. Guess what? When all 450 people had been served, the amount of food left was exactly what it was when they prayed. Isn't that incredible? And they lived this, see? So, I mean, I'm not telling stories that people can't verify. This is real stuff that God does. Now, I think Gloria and Raymond are really special. But you know what? They're just ordinary folks, just like me and Debbie, okay? As I said, we went through some hard times financially. At one of these times, We needed groceries. There had been times the Lord, folks had brought groceries to us, just show up on the door. Hey, the Lord said you needed this. Okay. That hadn't happened. We needed groceries. We had a dollar and a quarter. That was just enough to get a gallon of milk. And we had a little cereal at home. So we go to the grocery store with our daughter. In the car, we're praying that the Lord is going to provide for us, right? We get out of the car to go in the grocery store. And, Sandy, our daughter, sees a $20 bill there in the parking lot in front of our car and picks it up and says, will this help? That was exactly what we needed to buy groceries, you know? Debbie. Yeah, at the time you could get two sacks of groceries for that. It was, So we had a church once upon a time. We were pastoring, and we lived 45 minutes away from the church. The roads between our house and the church were rural roads. There was almost never any traffic or anything. So the trip was, if it was really good, it was 44 minutes, and if it was really bad, it was 46 minutes. You know, it was that kind of trip. It's just always the same. And you couldn't speed, you couldn't go fast, it's country road and stuff. And so I'm at church and realize, oh, shoot, I forgot some important part for praise and worship. I don't even remember what it was, but I'd left it at home. And I called the house. Now, this was only 20 minutes before service started. And I thought, well, Debbie's probably already long gone, but I'm going to call the house just in case and see. And sure enough, she was still there. And so I asked her to get the part. Bring it with her. Okay. She hangs up the phone, and I figure, oh, well, I guess we didn't need it after all, because we really need this to start the service. And so 20 minutes later, she walks in the door with this part. And she said, she and our daughter both said, you know, we had on some music that just seemed too ethereal. I mean, it was like we were flying or something. We just turned it off because we thought it was weird. There was just this weird feeling of what was going on. They'd made that 45-minute trip in 20 minutes. And again, I can tell you several stories like that. That's just one of the times. I wrote the time down. We've got an electric car. You have to write things down to make sure you don't run out of electricity, right? I wrote down when we left Montgomery, and I wrote down when we arrived at Lily's house, and it was, how long is it, you know how long it takes to do that. This, again, we got there in 20 minutes, and I thought, well, praise the Lord. The Lord has transported us so I can take a nap. This is wonderful. And we walk in the door, and Lily gets a call from Father Craig or somebody saying, is Father Dan there yet? We need him down here. Oh, okay, great. No nap for me. So, now, that just seems insignificant, right? That part, who cares? God does. It's no big deal for him. You know, it's a great miracle. No, he's going, oh, this is just how things work, folks. What are you guys so worried about? You know, this, I do this all the time. This is easy. I do want to tell a couple of healing stories, but I need a couple of folks to help me. Abby, you'll play the part of the 18-year-old, and I want you to come stand right about there, okay? And I need someone. I tell you what, how about you come, if your daughter had been here with you, I'd let her do this too. Come up here, and I want you to, you're going to play the sick. You just stand right there, Abby, and you're going to play the sick person. Okay, so we're somewhere, and there's giant crowds everywhere, and what they've done is they've set up this tent, and the tent is probably half the size of this set of pews here, and there's about 20 of us in there, and we're praying for folks, and so there's one door to the tent to go in and one door to go out. He's my cameraman here. He's getting things set so that we can put this on YouTube. Did it turn off and back on? Okay. I don't think so. Go back farther and make it. Got to take care of the technology, you know. Okay. So anyway, people would come in the door, we'd pray for them, and then they'd go out the other door, right? So the lady comes in, you come up here, and you have to walk like this. You have to kind of drag your left foot. Drag your left foot. Something had happened. She'd gotten a stroke or something, and she was semi-paralyzed on her left side. So you come up here. So she comes up to me for prayer. And when I start to pray for her, here, come up a little farther. I looked over at the door, and there was an 18-year-old girl who was next in line. And I motioned her to come over. And I said, "Have you ever prayed for anybody to be healed?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, today you're going to do that." And she kind of looks at me, "No, I can't do that." "Oh, sure, you can do that." And I had her hold your hands out like this. And I anointed her hands with oil. I read that scripture that we just read from Mark 16, you know, that you've been anointed to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and cast out demons. You're a believer, right? "Yeah, I'm a believer." So you've been anointed to heal people. You're going to pray for her and she's going to be healed. "No, I can't do that." "Oh, yeah, you can do it. Just trust me." Okay. So we asked this lady, you know, what does she need? "Well, her left side is paralyzed. So let's see. Left side. Okay, come over. You got to come over here, Abby." So I said, "So what you got to do is you lay one hand on her left arm and another hand on her left leg. And you just tell that paralysis, whatever it is, you just pray in the name of Jesus and command it to go." Okay. And she kind of looked at me like Abby just looked at me, like, "Huh? What?" And I said, "Go ahead, give it a try. You can do it." And so she prays a prayer. And I said, "Now, don't pray a long prayer. Just pray a short prayer and command it to go." And so she did that. And then I said, "Okay, now stop." And we asked the lady, "So while she prayed, did you feel anything?" "Well, no." "It's okay to say no. Well, why don't you try it? Just move a little bit and see if you can move a little more." Well, she had been able to move her left arm about like this to start with. And she was able to move it. She said, "Oh, I can move it a little more. What about your left leg?" "Yeah. Yeah, there's a little more feeling there." "Okay, well, let's pray again." And so she got down and she laid hands on him, prayed again. Pray for him. You know, short prayer, 30-second prayer. What, didn't take much, right? "Okay, let's find out what happened." And we asked her, "Okay, can you tell any difference?" She said, and she could move her arm about like that. And she could actually walk on her leg. It was still limping, but she could walk on it some. "Okay, well, let's pray again." And so the 18-year-old girl gets down and she prays for her. And she doesn't really realize what's going on. She's thinking maybe this lady's faking it. Who knows? But she prays anyway, right? Okay, now let's ask her how she does. And she can move her arms by this time. She can move her arms, and she literally danced out of that tent, waving her arms around after that prayer. Okay, now you can sit down, but you can't. Okay, so stand right here. So, yeah, you can leave. So I took that 18-year-old's hands, and I held them out, and I said, "See these hands? God used these hands to heal that lady." And you could see it was starting to dawn on her what had happened. And her eyes got big and her mouth came open. And, "Wow, you want to help me pray for some more people?" "Yes." We eventually prayed for her. I don't remember what, you can sit down now. I don't remember what was wrong with her, but we eventually prayed for her and God healed her too. But the point was, she had prayed for somebody, and they'd been healed. And she didn't have any clue that was even a possibility, see, until that day. I was walking down a street of a main of a big city with the missionary that we were with. We were there doing some ministry work. And I don't remember what we were doing. We were going to, you know, buy bananas or something, who knows. And we saw a little girl, probably, she's a little bigger than Zach is back there. She's probably about 9 or 10, and her eyes were crossed. And boy, when I saw her, I just felt great compassion come over me for those crossed eyes. And I can tell you, you know, I said, let's be intentional about walking in signs and wonders. For me, anyway, that's one of the ways that I have come to know that that the Lord wants me to pray for somebody. Now, that's not the only way, but a lot of times that happens. It's just get this great compassion. Now, I feel the compassion of the Lord come over me, and I know I'm supposed to pray for them. I don't know what's going to happen. You can never control that. All you can do is do what the Lord tells you to do, and it's up to Him to take care of the rest of it. And so I had this great compassion for this little girl. I stopped her. I prayed for her. And as we prayed for her, you could watch her eyes straighten out like that. And she started jumping up and down and screaming, and she ran back about four doors and into a door. And so the missionary and I figure, okay, well, she's healed. And so we turn around, start walking on our way. Pretty soon behind us, we hear this commotion. There's a woman screaming at us, and she's got a cantaloupe in her hand. And we think, uh-oh, she thinks we have molested her daughter or son. Who knows? And she is screaming and running after us with this cantaloupe. She's going to hit us with a cantaloupe. She was bringing that cantaloupe to us as a gift for praying for her daughter. Probably the only thing she had in her house. You know, it's a poor area. But God wanted to touch that little girl. Just walking in a lifestyle of signs and wonders. All right? Well, I don't think I have much more time, so... any other stories I should tell? Any quick story? Oh, the passport story. Yeah, I love that one. And again, if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't believe it. So we're standing in line at immigration in Kenya, where Gloria and Raymond are from. You know, you got to go through customs. And we're standing there in line, and we've struck up a conversation with this nurse from Australia. She's a Christian. She has come to do some ministry work there. And we're talking and having fun, and pretty soon we realize we're getting close to where we got to have our passports out. So Debbie and I look through our stuff, get our passport. She starts looking for her passport, and she's got a knapsack with her and, you know, a backpack. Rucksack, I think is what she called it. And she started looking for her passport and couldn't find it. And this is another one. I mean, she literally dumped that thing out on the floor there looking for that passport. And she said, I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? She said, oh, no. I remember now. I left it on the table in the restaurant at Amsterdam. Oh, no. What am I going to do? And, of course, Debbie goes, well, let's pray the finding prayer. Right? Of course. And so we do. We explain to her what it is. And she looks at us like we're crazy. So, but we pray the finding prayer. And you say, okay, look again in your knapsack. I turned it upside down. Look again anyway. She opens it up, and right there on the top is her passport. Okay, so about 4 days later, Debbie and I are going with some other folks to the game preserve there outside of Nairobi. And as we're going up to get our tickets, there's a tour bus there. And pretty soon we hear a commotion going on in the tour bus up there as we're walking by. And there's this nurse. And she's going, "That's them. That's the one that prayed for my passport. That's them." Okay. So, got the point? Ordinary believers, you just have to be intentional about it. That's all.
I think one of the things to be intentional too is if you see it in the Word, or if you hear about something that somebody else has experienced and stuff, and you get in the situation, just try it.
Yeah, if you see it in the Bible, or you hear about something, and you hear some of these stories that I've been telling, try it out. Like they were saying yesterday, take it out for a spin yourself and see what happens. Give God a chance to do something. If you don't pray, you don't look for it, you're probably not going to have those intentions. And like David says, when you go grocery shopping, this is one of the things I'm still learning. You know, sometimes I'm going grocery shopping, I'm so busy trying to figure out which aisle I'm supposed to be in, I'm not paying attention to the Lord saying, "Hey, that person needs prayer," or "That person needs a word." I'm still learning how to do that. You know, that's just part of this walking in this lifestyle of signs and wonders. You just have to be open to do that. You know, praise the Lord. Well, anyway, I hope that blessed you. I hope that was the demo that the examples that they were looking for this. So. Yeah, time for my nap.
One of the things I want, like tonight, I want to see happen, all of you who have been team members with me on some of the trips, I want you to think of one story, like a 3-minute story, about something God did miraculous. And so we'll just share a little bit like that, just to stir people up. I was thinking about, because you have a few more minutes, a couple of stories. One, we were in Rentobo in Uganda, and there was the stage, and there was bleachers all around and chairs, and so it was a time for ministry. I don't know if I spoke that morning, and then we had ministry at the end, I don't remember. But they all come in this field. There's this big field right in front of the stage. So there was probably 3,000-4,000 people that crowded in that field. And so we're praying. Our team are giving words of knowledge, and people are getting healed, and stuff's happening. It's really cool. And so when time came for to pray for people corporately, in that time, we couldn't pray for them individually. There were too many. That happened later. We would house the ministry time or ministry tent or ministry building or wherever we were at to do ministry. But so we just prayed. And I just began to pray in tongues. Now, everybody there except for one group, one tribal group, is sort of in the mountains of western Uganda, could speak Swahili. But this one group, tribal people that were there, they couldn't speak Swahili. There's reasons for that. And so I'm just praying for them in tongues and that kind of thing. And so afterwards, and we saw God do a bunch of cool stuff. It was awesome. And when it was done, one of the clergy came up to me and was telling me that story. I didn't know that there was a tribal people there that couldn't speak Swahili. So my interpreters, you know, interpreting in Swahili. But one of our clergy came up to me and he said, "Do you realize that when you were praying in tongues, you were speaking in their tribal language for God to heal them, to bring healing, and they heard what you were saying?" That was a cool thing. And I wasn't even trying. Like, I wasn't like going, "Okay, God," I was just praying in tongues over the situation, but I wasn't like, "Okay, God, I'm expecting you to do that." But that was a cool thing. You just do the stuff, and God just does stuff. Tuck will remember this one. We went on one Africa trip where it wasn't a team. We actually went with somebody else, and we'd had like 13 flights in 14 days. And we were in a city called Mwanza, which is a pretty significant city in Tanzania. And there we have a cathedral there, and it was just packed full of people. And there really was no time. I wasn't in charge, so I was a follower and part of the group. But the bishop there leaned over to the one who was in charge and said, "When are we going to do ministry?" Because I didn't figure we'd have time to do ministry. And so we had to create space for ministry. This is how God, that stuff is so cool. So what we did was, to just build people's faith to see what God would do, we just gave a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge was, there's somebody here who's deaf, God wants to heal you. So in the back of the church, it was so jammed, this older lady that was like 70-something, some people got her and walked her out into the aisle. She never even came forward. And I like this story because it's just so simple. She just stands out there, back there, and I just walk back there and just basically command her ears to be open. It took me 5 seconds. And she was totally healed. It happened just like that. I didn't have a formula. I didn't have, it wasn't like tick for hour. There was no emotional stuff. She just stepped out in the aisle. I walked down the aisle. I said, "In Jesus' name, I command your ears to be open. Your healing to be restored." And she was healed. And the bishop there had known her since he was a little boy. And she had been deaf, I think, all of her life. Is that right, Tuck? Something like that. And so that's a neat story of not, you don't have to work hard at it. If you're trying to force it, then you're trying to help Jesus. He really doesn't need your help. He just needs your availability. He would prefer to not have your help, actually. Jesus really doesn't trust you enough just to be your co-pilot. You with me? He would like for you to be back in first class and just rest while he is the pilot. All right. That's right. Okay. Anybody who've been on the team have a real quick story you'd like to tell? I've got some I'm thinking about, some cool. Wendy. Huh? Wendy's got, she's got 3 minutes, and then we're like hitting her in the head with a paintball thing.
So amazing, lots of things, but this one really taught me to listen to the Holy Spirit when I'm praying. It's so easy to just launch into what I think needs to be prayed. And so I would stop when they would come to us in the tent, and I would just say, "Holy Spirit, what do they need?" So one lady came to me. She was having terrible abdominal pain. And I just... Yes, I'm a nurse. And so I stopped and I said, "Holy Spirit, what does she need?" And he didn't tell me anything about abdominal pain. He gave me the word strife. And so we had to do an interpreter. It's a lengthy process. So the interpreter asked her, "Is there any strife?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." And I prayed again, "Holy Spirit, what does she need?" And I heard the word Naomi very clearly in my spirit through the interpreter. "Does Naomi mean anything to you?" We didn't need an interpreter for that. She's the one living in my house causing all these problems, I said, "Well, let's pray for you to forgive Naomi." So led her through forgiving Naomi. And I was like, "Okay, now let's pray for your abdominal pain." Before I could pray for the abdominal pain, she started saying, "It's gone, it's gone." And so that was a big lesson for me. Now, yes, when you see it, yeah, go for what you see too, but that's a big lesson. I still need to keep going back to that. With Joy McGee. Love Joy McGee. It was pouring down African rain, like African rain. Water was dripping on our heads. We were all squished under the tent. We were praying with team members, and Joy McGee was praying with me. There was a lady who came, and we saw this. They would ask, I as a nurse could look at them and see they had other physical issues, and they would ask for something very small that wouldn't be like, "My eyes are blind," or and it seemed like this lady, too, she was having stomach pain. But I could see as a nurse, her eyes were very diseased. Like, I don't know if they were cataracts or what. But we said, she asked for that. That's what we're going to pray for. So Joy McGee and I were praying. It didn't seem like a lot was happening about the abdominal stuff. And I asked her, can we pray for your eyes? She said, yes. Wasn't a long prayer. And the Lord has put in my heart just to say, the Lord that made the ears and the seeing eyes heals you. Something to that effect. And Joy McGee was praying with me in tongues and laying hands on her. And she opened her eyes, and her eyes went from diseased to this blue color to perfectly brown African beautiful coffee colored brown eyes. But it went like boom, 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 this fast. And Joy and I hadn't seen that before, and she was on this shoulder, we looked at each other, her eyes changed color. And it's wonderful to see the look on their faces. And when she opened her eyes, just that, and she was looking around like, you knew she could see, you know. So it was amazing.
See, that's the fun part, is that you get to be the body through which Jesus does this stuff. He needs a body, and we're at. But the burden's not on us. That's the whole thing about last night. The burden's not on us. It's not about how spiritual you are. It's not about how much power you've manifested. It's not even really about your faith. It's all about His faith. So the burden's all on Him. He just needs, somebody said, your availability. And then He does the stuff that He does. One of the things I love about the teams that we've gone together is that there have been a couple of times. I remember once in Jinja, I came downstairs into the kitchen, the restaurant area, and they had the entire staff of the hotel down there praying for them to be healed, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's really a common thing. Why did that happen? Because they were intentional. It's easy when you come back here and you get into routine that you stop looking. That's why we say, keep your spiritual eyes open and sniff out demonic oppression, whatever it looks like. And then do something about it, because you can. Okay, so we'll do some more stories tonight. That was good.
You did really good. Short little stories.
So think of some. Everybody who's been on the team's got lots of them, but think of some big cool stuff.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll make this real quick one. This is, again, a Jinja story. Won't tell all the details. We ministered there for several days, but one day, this place we were at, it was just a tent, but it's a pretty big tent. It was full of people. And that was that lady who was bent over about that far from the ground, got healed. And there's this Catholic bishop who came to check us out. And these were his people getting healed. But when we left that city, God did so much stuff that they just began to meet every single night for like a couple of weeks, sharing testimony about people who had gotten healed or set free from demonic oppression, and more people were getting healed and set free. And it got so bad that the husbands, many of the husbands who didn't come to the meetings, called the police to go bring their wives home and their family home, because they've not seen them for days and days and days. Of course, the police wouldn't do it, but that was kind of like that place in Acts 9, because of Aeneas being healed, that whole area gave their lives to Jesus. Amen.